Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune into the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
Hopefully this is the last time you'll hear this ad, because with Chime checking account features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe and getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit, you can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade to spend more time listening to your favorite podcasts, or at least grab yourself an extra morning latte this month. Join millions of Chime members who work on their financial progress with fee-free overdraft and no monthly fees. When you find new ways to save, you can reach your financial goals easier and still have the occasional treat. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime. Feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Islanders country, hello. This is the Eyes on Isles podcast, powered by the Fansided Sports Network. I am your host, Joe Bono. Follow me on Twitter at IslesFix and subscribe to your only Monday through Friday Islanders newsletter. And I'm joined here once again by our full-time recurring guest, not wearing a hat here today, so I get to see his coif, very nicely looking hairline, Mr. Andy Francis. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I was feeling under the weather, and like I told you last week, that's usually the only time you're not going to be able to see some hairline, because you know, you gotta flaunt it while you got it. And Lord knows, you know, my days may be numbered eventually. So I want to look back.
No signs, though. No signs. Your hairline is the Zach Parise of hairlines right now.
Yeah, and I'm hoping for a similar type of rejuvenation like he has. So. Yeah, hair's looking good. Isles are looking good in the standings. It's been a good week. Couple
great
road
week.
Bumps.
Great week. Yeah. Four games, 6 days, and 8 points. And each game kind of had its own little life of its own, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
In there, you know. But first, you know, just because we ended up talking about Thanksgiving, so maybe it was just a quick recap of how Thanksgiving went for you, because when you're my age and you have a couple kids, you still find a way to eat too much. You're driving way too much, and yet you get no sleep, no relaxation. You don't get to have any conversation with people. You can't drink. It's not as fun. You can't watch the Giant game.
So it basically devolves into an unenjoyable experience.
It's pretty unenjoyable. I think the age if you're at an age right now where you're not hosting, you're too young to host, that's still delegated to another member of the family, and you have your independence and no one to be responsible for, that is great. You show up, you bring maybe a bottle of wine, that's it. Everyone wants to chit-chat with you. You have the most interesting life out of anyone that's there, and you eat and you drink on your own terms, at your own pace. It's great, but...
That's a perfect introduction for exactly what I did.
Yeah,
I
knew it.
That's what I did. I got to enjoy every single football game, every single play of them. Nothing was missed at all. The only issue were the self-inflicted wounds where you have Thanksgiving on Thursday. Everybody knows about leftovers on Friday. But now the problem is it's already the weekend. So now you make it this 4-day long thing where you can mentally say, well, you know, the diet starts on Monday. So now you're a slob for four consecutive
days.
Mm-hmm. And here I am. After that, because I can assure you that's what happens, because you had that college football Saturday, you had some of those huge games and a full slate on Sunday. It's just been pure debauchery in terms of what I've ingested these last couple of days. But if we're getting a couple of Islanders wins along the way,
yeah,
it's a trade I'm willing to make.
And you're so right. We hosted some family on Friday, and it was supposed to be just a couple pizzas, you know, for my brother, sister-in-law, their kids, in-laws coming over. I would just order a couple pies. My wife goes out to the store. She comes back with apple pie, pecan pie, and like eggnog, like spiced eggnog, Southern Comfort. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing? Oh, I thought it'd be nice. So now we have – all this pie in the house. We got the whipped cream. We got the a la mode with the ice cream. And it's just me and myself in the refrigerator at 9 o'clock in between the second and third periods of an Islander game. What else am I going to do but divulge?
I don't know. Definitely not put on the Thanksgiving Day parade. One of the most overrated things I still do not understand the allure of this thing. I put it right up there with fireworks. If this was 1927, absolutely. You rarely see things so big. It's so rare. I can put on a VR Oculus helmet and be in Tokyo in 3 minutes. I can be there virtually. I can be there instantly. And I'm supposed to watch big floats of the Pillsbury Doughboy. Well,
forget about watching the big floats on TV, but people go, and I have friends that did it. They go to the city, Upper West Side, in massive crowds to see Bluey and Spider-Man get blown up.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm okay if you just want to have it as background noise. Guys are at the table. Fine. Oh, I was not. I'm talking about those people who trek there to see what? A float of Goofy come by? I can't understand.
No, I'm not even talking about being there as the float goes by. I'm talking about the night before watching the balloons get air put into them. That's a thing.
I did not even want to learn that existed.
That's a big thing.
That's a far cry from what you were doing in the meatpacking district.
Far cry. Yes. Ago. The night before. Yeah, exactly. Well, those people are already home by the time I was getting out on Thanksgiving Eve. But yeah, that is a very big deal, is going up to the Columbus Circle area and just watching the floats as they get filled up with air in preparation.
Well, sounds like a contingent of people I'll never come across in my entire life. So how about we...
Well, all right. Let's move on to our New York Islanders, who now have the fourth most points in the NHL, the fourth most wins in the NHL. We keep on doing these shows after wins, forcing you to be as positive as possible, macro level, micro level, no matter what. And each one of these games over the course of the week had their own different flavors. We were on right after the Toronto game, which was a game they stole, a game they did not deserve to win. They get the turnover, Bailey scores, and like you said, always a bit of luck involved in overtime. They got the luck, Beauvillier with the snipe, and they win that game. Then you go into the game the next day. Go ahead.
I don't. When I say luck, I'm just saying overtime as a whole. For all teams, when you're talking about 3-on-3 and potential shootout, I'm not saying Beauvillier's shot was lucky. It was a great shot, great play by, I think it was Nelson who laid it off to him. No, I was just saying the virtue of coming out with 2 points of every overtime is not, that is more luck. That's kind of what I meant.
Clarified, understood, absolutely agree.
But you know, these people, they're waiting with pitchforks.
They're going to jump on you.
To try to,
Francis says it was all luck.
I play prevent defense. Nobody plays better prevent defense from me. I know they're looking for things, and I've crossed my T's and dotted my
lowercase
J's.
All right, Wayne's World 2 references.
That's right.
I'm glad I got it. Oh, yes, they will come. Okay, so the game against Edmonton. Now, this is a game now, 3-0, and it felt like they were in complete control the whole game. You never feared because you saw how locked in, dialed in Sorokin was even early. It kind of felt like one of those playoff games where you have the 1-0 lead and you're like, nothing is getting by this guy tonight unless there's a crazy deflection, puck off a skate, something like that. They were not going to beat him clean. But you look at the advanced statistics on that game, and it looked like, you know, the Edmonton Oilers should have won that game easily with 49 shots, but that's not the way it felt when
I have not just felt. I vehemently disagree with that assessment. And normally I will point sometimes to those advanced metrics and statistics because many times they point to a larger picture, but the game within the game of that one, I want to remove the second half of that game. That's when the game was competitive and the Islanders controlled the majority of the play. I've been telling you the one thing that I really want to see. I want to see them control the play and not hope that Sorokin bails them out and then they score on a 2-on-1. You just want to see that your team can impose its will on others. And when that game was a tight game, first period and then through the second half of the second period, they controlled the majority of the play. That is one where I'm not going to let the statistics really get to my head, because what happened was the refs started calling penalty after penalty after penalty. And it always seems, I don't know if this is a psychological thing, where if a team doesn't score, they'll just keep piling up the power plays. But then if it got to 3-2, then they all of a sudden wouldn't call penalties tight anymore. And as long as they kept killing them, they kept giving them to them. And a lot of those stats that at the end of the game you look back at and see 49 shots, it's because once that game was no longer of the tight checking variety, the same way I say, oh, the Islanders have huge third periods, and many times that's because other teams are not pushing guys forwards and they're playing, speaking of prevent defense, in the NHL versions of prevent defense. It's the same kind of thing when you're up 3-0 and other teams are raking up power plays. Of course you're going to see the shots go, you know, pile up. But the shots in that game, albeit 49 of them, were of a way lower quality and variety than in the game in Columbus, where there was a mere 26 shots. You would think the Islanders controlled the game, but Sorokin had to make point-blank saves. Under 2 minutes of the first period of that game, they just give up a full breakaway. Then, to their credit, and I know I'm just skipping into the next game, the Islanders controlled the play, and if I truly believe if it wasn't for the phantom 5-on-3, the Blue Jackets kind of were ready to wave the white flag. They didn't have much fight at all. Then they got those two goals. So now it's a tie game, mostly because of the refs, but I'll never blame everything like that on them. Within 2 minutes, once again, point blank in front of the net, nobody. So that's concerning to me. But then again, I don't think they should have been in that position because the refs kind of put them there. So the Edmonton game and a big chunk of the Columbus game, I was pretty content with the play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's still on that bar of that Carolina game we talked about, because, you know, the full 60-minute effort. And there were, like you said, the moments of the 5-on-3, allowing a team like Columbus that's been playing poorly, that's beat up, that's injured, like you said, on the precipice of waving the white flag at home, being, you know, Islanders get one more goal, and, you know, they probably just kind of skate for 20 minutes in the third period. All of a sudden, they're alive, cannons are going off. And all of a sudden, now you're in a dogfight for the third period, and Brock Nelson scores a big goal, and then Sorokin makes some big saves to hold on to that. And then in the game against Edmonton, played a tremendous first 40 minutes, but can you really – it's like, was it a complete 60-minute effort? It was kind of so abnormal with all the penalties, and like you said, the four straight that they had to kill in the third, that it was kind of hard to get a feel to say, well, they owned and dominated the third period because – they were just kind of, like you said, playing the hockey version of the prevent defense. But Sorokin, obviously the star in those two games, gets third star of the week. That was announced earlier today. 3 wins, 1.32 goals against average, 963 save percentage, 7-2 on the month. As the Islanders have won now 10 games in the month of November for just the fourth time in franchise history, and we'll try to make it 11 on Tuesday night against the Flyers. So
I'll say this.
Sorokin's star continues to shine.
Yes, it's a very long regular season. It's incredibly long, and you have to keep yourself relatively fresh for when the playoffs start. So if you're up 3-0 going into the third period, and don't tell this to the Rangers after yesterday, because they're not going to want to hear this, or the Panthers.
Against the same team. Against the same team, though, too.
If they both the Panthers and the Rangers on Saturday blew third period 3-goal leads at home. And that's not going to make what I'm about to say feel any better or look good at all. But I understand there is a certain level of energy conservation that has to happen, especially when you're a veteran-laden team. You've seen this with Tampa the last few years. Tampa was, you know, the fourth seed up in that division, or the third seed up in the division. But they once push came to shove, they wiped those teams out because they didn't overexpend themselves during the regular season. So if the Islanders do have a 3-0 lead at any point, I'm actually not going to get too hard on them. I prefer controlling the first two and mailing it in the third, opposed to mailing in the first and second and go nuts to try to come back in the third. And I told somebody this, the most entertaining part for you Islander fans to watch games this season, this is an awful thing and a great thing at the same time. The Islanders are the type of team that could go into Carolina and control the game. And then the Islanders are the kind of team that can lose against Arizona and get shut out at home. It's true Forrest Gump, box of chocolates. You can get anything. You can be trailing against Colorado, the cup champs at home, come back. You can be outplayed by Philly, an AHL roster with their backup goalie for the majority of the game on Saturday. You can get anything. And as far as like guessing and entertainment purposes, it's kind of fun in a sick way to know, like, all right, what are we getting tonight?
But at the end result, more times than not, you're getting a win. It's what, 13? What is it, 13 to 17 now that they've won?
Yeah, but you don't want to get into bad habits thinking you can really get away with this. This is like blackjack, you know. You can have a great run on a shoe of cards.
I was with you on the getting away with it when, you know, the wins were piling up and the wins were coming, like you said, as the result of these comebacks. This week felt different with the Toronto game as the exception. They, like we talked about, Edmonton, better team for 40 minutes. Own the game in Columbus like they should have until the 5-on-3 power play. And yes, they had a bad second period against the Flyers, but look what they did in the third. So I don't feel the exact same way as maybe I felt 2 weeks ago
the
about
Islanders,
hey, playing
against
with fire here.
The Flyers had
the bad teams
in the third period had about 13 shots registered. That they were flat that game. And the excuse was second game in two nights, but so did
for both
Philly.
Teams. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't just say they controlled Columbus. They were on their heels in the first couple minutes. Then they got the two goals. And yes, there was the, but in a tie game in the third, they come out and give up a couple big chances. Edmonton is the game that they controlled gameplay, yet you see 50 shots up there. So that's what I mean. We go, oh, yeah, well, show me the game they controlled. Yeah, right there. What? They get 50 shots up? Like, you know, it always goes back to that Carolina one for me. That's what an effort should look like. Multiple line scoring, and you're seeing it from the first to the third. And they bring it out when they play the better teams. But like I said, it's an 82-game season. It's ramping. I think we are seeing a slow ramping towards the better play. And that's what I'm still hopeful for, that they're,
and again,
they're taking
again,
shape,
especially
like lava
this soft
cooling.
And this is a soft part of the schedule of Columbus, and now back to back games with Philadelphia, regardless of how they were playing. You look at that and you go, you better get 5 or 6 out of 6 points in those three games. And so far, they've gotten all four. I don't know. Did you play hockey? Did you play hockey? So you played hockey.
Yeah.
So did you ever have like a back to back?
Well, the problem is you're young. That's why I would never worry about the Senators having back-to-back or New Jersey having back-to-back. The majority of their roster is young. That's a huge factor. So
I never played. I played baseball. The baseball back-to-backs, even if catching, you know, two 7-inning games on a Saturday and Sunday growing up, a little bit different. Even if I was the catcher, it was okay. I feel like eating Thanksgiving meal, having the leftovers, that is how a back-to-back feels. Like I lethargic, trying to ramp up the energy.
I think it depends.
Summon something from down deep.
That's why the Flyers didn't look too tired. It's a very simple equation. It's not rocket science. If the younger teams are going to be able to do it, no problem. The younger kids, they can go out drinking on a Friday night and play the next night. I mean, this is Danny Heatley in his prime and Jeff Carter, Mike Richards. They had no problem. Mike Richards could hardly get on the ice by the time he made it to the end of his tenure over there in L.A. It's the younger teams will be able to thrive in those environments. So you just kind of got to hope on the second half of back-to-backs, you're not playing
it. No, I hear it. I hear what you're saying. No, I was struggling with the non-alcoholic eggnog the night after.
Yeah, we do have guys in our 30s, in their 30s, and you know, you're likely to see a little bit more, see more struggling in those games. That was the good thing about Trotz when you have an airtight system.
Right, you could rely
anytime
on
anytime your team struggles, you have a fail safe. It's like, all right, you know what?
And they had a great record. I mean, up till last year, but a great record under Barry Trotz in the second games of back to back.
Well, it's not a coincidence.
It was such an outlier across compared to the rest of the league of how well they played. Sometimes, you know, and what they did so well those few years was that they never had these long losing streaks, really up until the 7-game losing streak. Right up until the pause, but they would always be able to, oh, they lost this first game in the back-to-back, and what do? They would rely back on their structure and usually play a really sound defensive game. Let's talk about the third period against the Flyers, which, you know, if they would have won that game 3-2, 4-2, it would have felt nice, but the way it ended with all the extracurricular stuff with the Romanov hit on Hayes, he gets jumped really for no reason. I mean, you watch that clip from every angle. It's as clean as it possibly could. It wasn't even like a Kasparaitis type hip check that no one does anymore. It was a shoulder to shoulder. He just kind of came in quickly from the angle there and surprised them. And then the Wahlstrom, bout with Tony DeAngelo that he is not prepared for. D'Angelo comes in, gloves are already off, starts grabbing Wahlstrom. He has to kind of absorb a couple hits and then finds his foundation and ends up ragdolling him after that. Really put some juice into a Saturday night crowd. And I don't know, kind of gave this team a little bit of a swagger, I felt, kind of going into this game on Tuesday. I'm not sure how you feel about it, but it was fun to see that kind of edge.
I hate to do this, but I'm going to just pause that, and I just want to finish up on something you were just saying about the Islanders.
That was a great lead-in.
It was great.
35 seconds.
But this is very important, I think, for anybody who likes hockey, including yourself, to know. And okay. I mean it. When it comes to playing structures, and you have teams who value structure over individual, like personnel, you rarely see long losing streaks, and you see teams not have great disparity in gameplay that goes from the regular season to the playoffs. System transfers to playoffs, but individual skill and whatnot does not, because very often the gameplay it's so much different. They allow more penalties to like, you know, those Scott Mayfield type plays. I saw him take an interference on Saturday. He just cracked someone away from the play because the guy was jawing at him. That's not getting called in the playoffs. And there's just fewer space available. So you'll have a team who win the President's Trophy, like the Florida Panthers, and they're getting shut out in multiple games because they're playing a system that is just not going to transfer well to the playoffs. So when you're talking about losing streaks, And teams who just randomly disappear come playoff time, one of the main reasons is because they don't have a great structure from within, and they rely simply on the talent that exists on the roster. And I just say that because it is very important to know when you're watching, forget about the Islanders, any sort of hockey, when you're wondering why teams are having random sustained success for multiple years in the playoffs. Why did the Islanders lose 1-0 to Tampa? Rangers lose 2-1 to Tampa. Toronto loses 2-1 to Tampa, because that rigid structure in those closeout games is what they implement, and they get the same results every single time. Just something that I wanted to, you know, help out people kind of understand.
So do I have to do the whole intro now to that?
No. I'm getting better every year at multitasking. I believe it brought out a little something in the Islanders that was necessary. It's almost, many things can happen over the course of these games that can kind of light a fire almost sometimes unintentionally under a team. It's this convergence event. The Isles were actually having a good third. Then that kind of really got them even more involved into the game. More emotion's always a good thing. But I obviously like how they came out in the third, but the Flyers were losers of 9 straight. And then they're playing the Islanders and blew a third period lead.
Right, it's a roster.
So like that,
similar to the Islanders' COVID roster at the moment, probably, that they're putting out.
It was an AHL roster, and they didn't even have their one good player in Carter Hart starting, and they had the lead, and they're a defensive team under Tortorella, and blew that, and they obviously got pissed off and were venting their frustrations and probably also showing their coach that they care, and that's what, if you're a Flyers fan, you want to see that. You really do. And I'll replace that. You can still hear me, right?
Yep.
Okay. And as far as the Islanders side goes, they kind of were just treating it like another game. But as that game started to grow, it was getting chippier. And I think it was good for them. It was good for them to re-experience.
Haven't had that type of game. Just haven't had that type of game so far.
Because we didn't have the type of season that allowed for games to matter. So it was almost between all the shenanigans that happened last year and the way the Islanders season went, we weren't in these games with so much, you know, on the line. And there hasn't been this kind of emotion surrounding the team probably since the playoffs. So it was good to see. It was good to see.
And also the players involved, right? I mean, Romanov being the newest Islander, known for someone who can lay a hit like that. You know, when the Islanders traded for him, and you went looking and searching for highlights, you weren't going to find a lot of goals and highlight real type plays. You would find a lot of hits that really endeared him to the Montreal Canadian fan base. And we've seen that in spurts, and here was an example of that. So the way the teammates kind of come to his defense, you'd like to see. And then Wahlstrom. I mean, Wahlstrom just had that fight. Rasmus Sandin, he fought in Toronto, held his own. And then he fights again here against D'Angelo. And then we learn after the game about him taking these MMA classes with Matt Martin over the summer. And it was interesting because I heard Cal Clutterbuck give a quote and be like, oh, the guy really worked hard in the offseason. And I think he was referring directly to that. Like, this was something that was important to him to develop and be ready for. And he held his own, and he's done it now twice in within a week. And everyone's thinking about, you know, what Oliver Wahlstrom, the type of player he is and needs to be from a two-way game. I don't think anyone ever thought about this part of his game being something that he has. But, I mean, we saw it last year. Remember the P.K. Subban item where he kind of got jumped after he gave a hit there. And he kind of, you know, what's the word when you kind of he turtled up, right,
yeah.
In that situation. So maybe that was in his head over the going into the summer and what he needed to do. But, man, great results. And that endears yourself to your teammates, too. I think Thomas Hickey said it, you know, during the post game. You know, when you don't start the fight, but you end it, that's the type of stuff that brings a dressing room closer together and really, you know, gains the respect of the other teammates. So not only great to see from a team perspective, but I think really important for the two players that it happened to.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that he was able to score another snipe the other night, which is good. He's actually weirdly now on pace for over 20 goals. Very bold prediction. I said the Islanders before the year, I go, and how about you take this one and frame it, people who think that I complain. Before the year, I said the Islanders have 6 to 7 20-plus capable goal scorers. It doesn't mean that they're going to score 20. It means they're capable of. And what you're seeing so far, Parisi is on pace currently for over 20. Palmieri, Pajot, Wahlstrom, Nelson, Lee, all of them. All of them are on pace for over 20 goals. Is that going to change? Possibly, probably. But this is what you're looking like. I love something like that because it lets you know that if they do make the playoffs, that the same strength that previously served them well, which was having multiple lines that show up in series, that still is intact. Because the worry is, no, it's either this or they're not getting anything. They're getting production from all three lines at different times. And I've really, for me, that is the absolute best to see. I don't need a 50-goal score. I don't need a 60-goal score. I need to know that the three lines can contribute because that, it's such a weapon to have come down the stretch in playoff time.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about a couple players that add to that depth that are really on the upswing as well in a moment. Plus, Andy's moving to Tampa. I just found this out.
No.
And Joe Bono, Andy Francis, the Eyes on Isles podcast. We'll be right back after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
We're back, Eyes on Isles podcast, powered by the Fansided Sports Network. Joe Bono and Andy Francis with you. And right at the start, I compared your hairline to Zach Parise because it's 37, 38 years old, and it's looking fantastic. So looking spectacular. I just watched that Seinfeld episode. It's real and it's spectacular.
And they're spectacular, yeah.
Got into like a Comedy Central, just Seinfeld, like coupled Chinese restaurant, and that one was on like back-to-back, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to watch the Thanksgiving Day Parade. I'm going to put this on right now.
Well, you know, you wanted actual entertainment, so I can't blame you for that at all. And I'm sorry for ruining that great intro.
Oh, but such a good intro. I had energy, I had excitement.
That's all it takes. Misstep, and now are you that guy? You go down 1-0 in NHL, and then that's it. I don't want to play anymore. One little thing goes, yeah. You can't say the Chell. It's making life worse.
Sorry, I know I keep on sounding older.
I was going to tag you in that commercial, but I just didn't want to. I don't know. I didn't want to bring it back up again.
All right, let's talk about Zach Parise because I can't now. Wasn't surprised by this stat because you knew that he hasn't missed any games, but he's played now 105 consecutive games since being an Islander, and he is the age that he is, and he's been your most durable player. He's your most available player. He's your most versatile player. And this year he's actually scoring goals instead of getting a lot of great chances, already 7 on the year. And he's probably the biggest bargain in the NHL. And now I'm upset that they didn't sign him to a 2-year contract extension last March than a 1-year contract extension. This has been more than anyone could have expected.
I'm curious to know what you said at this point last season about him, if you wanted the 2-year deal.
No, I'm saying now, after seeing this happen again now, him following up last year and now also doing it again.
The beginning of last year, people were calling for his head.
He was fast, which the thing you were worried about was, like, is this guy going to be slow? He wasn't slow. He was active. He had energy. He just wasn't scoring, wasn't converting. Took until the 23rd of the game of the year, I think December 11th, to score his first goal. Now they played 23 games and he has 7. So, you know, the results are there. But he finished with 15 last year. You know, like you said, you talk about 20 goal scorers. He finished with 15. His first one came, you know, after the quarter mark of the year.
It's why I tell you not to celebrate, but we got the wins. I don't care about the metrics. It's no different than seeing Zach Parise not score in the first 50 games. Like, because then his detractors would be like, I don't care, not seeing the goals. Eventually, it's the blackjack rule. The house, eventually the numbers are going to hit, whether it's 1 year or 3 years. Barzal's goals are going to come. Even if it's not this year, it's going to be next year. Same thing like with the Islanders play. You know, you got to clean up some of those things or else you're not always going to be on the right side of overtimes. You're not going to be on the right side of 3-goal comebacks. So same type of thing with Parise. You saw this quality play the entire time. There has not been a 5-game stretch as an Islander where you ever were disappointed at him out there. We've seen stretches, people screaming at Beauvillier, Bailey, Dobson, and that was probably only me.
That was you, yeah.
Which defenseman has the lowest plus minus on the Islanders this year? The one that said he struggled deep? All right, okay. Anyway, but it's the same type of thing where he's been as consistent. I'm trying to think of other players who have rivaled his level of consistency, and it's pretty hard to think of somebody who's been asking, maybe somebody who you just don't notice, like Scott Mayfield or someone like that, where you just know what you're getting night in, night out. And I've been nothing but thoroughly impressed. When you're talking about adding complementary players to a team that you think can compete, he is the perfect guy, hounding people on the forecheck. He's adding to the power play, penalty kill. Whatever they ask him to do, he has enough talent to play with skillful players, and he has the work ethic to play with checking line. He is the perfect kind of jackknife player, a Troy Polamalu, where if you want to get him in the box or you want to use him in coverage, he can do everything on the ice, and it's great that we have him out there.
Is he jackknife or is it Swiss Army knife? Is it the same?
Yeah, I was combining.
Jackhammer and a Swiss Army.
No,
knife?
I was combining a Diesel, Kevin Nash's jackknife was in my head. Swiss Army knife.
Nice. Yep. Yesterday, Stefan Rosner in NYI Hockey Now said that, you know, there were 79 players in NHL that make the league minimum. Parise, 38 years old, the oldest one with that hit, and currently leads the list with games played, goals, and points. And then today, Gordon Miller tweeted out a stat, which kind of just, you know, just comes on top of that, saying that the lowest NHL cost per goal on non-entry-level contracts, Parise second, his 7 goals. Islanders are paying currently $107,000 per goal. Only Vilardi on the Kings has a better number. So a big bargain here, given the status of the team salary cap that, thanks to the Minnesota Wild paying him large amounts of money due to the buyout, that he's totally cool with $750,000 and going maybe year to year with this team.
I always hate these cherry pick stats. So
that's a great stat. Which one was cherry pick? The first one or the second one?
Okay. No, both? The cherry picking is 4 days ago. It doesn't apply. That's why it's cherry picking. You don't have a good game and then say, oh, well, that I just don't like stuff like that. I just don't like where, okay, he scored two in a game. Now that brings that average up 4 days ago.
You don't care that he has a better cost per goal number than Tage Thompson?
You want to know why I don't care?
$500.
I've been saying that he's been quality the whole time. It's convincing. You know who needs to see that? The people who need to see numbers. I don't need to see the numbers. I just need to see the gameplay. And he's shown the exact same play that a couple more went in off his foot this year. Congratulations, because we know there have been a couple of those. He's got an empty netter. I don't need to see the goals to know a player's good. I don't even need him to score. It's just a bonus for me. What he's doing out there is invaluable, and it's great.
And you get the feeling, based on how he carried himself last year and this year and where he is within his career, you know, it doesn't matter if the stats didn't, if they came or did not come. He was going to be the exact same player each and every time. And maybe that's the same case with Matt Barzal with goals. But because of where he is in his career and where the expectations are, he's going to get those questions. For Parise, it's like, look what I've accomplished. I have 400 plus goals in my NHL career. You know, maybe borderline, well, you know, maybe a little bit shy of a Hall of Famer, but all-star type player. I don't care. I'm going to just go out there and do my thing, and it's either it's going to come or it's not.
When Parise re-signed, that was the tip of the cap to me that the Islanders were going to be able to compete this year, because he signed on a one-year deal thinking, exactly, yeah, he wanted to compete for a championship. Right. The Islanders made back-to-back conference finals. That's and then point. The fact the season went the way it did, and he could have easily went and signed another minimum deal.
Yeah, he could have used that.
He could easily go to Toronto, a team that and just sign for the minimum and play with a team who's right there, ready to contend. Add himself to Carolina or something like that on a minimum, rather than, you know, Stastny or whoever they ended up getting. But he didn't. He chose, despite the year, he decided to stay. Which, and then I know people like ridicule.
Have you made
this
point before, or is this did this just come up? This just come to you? This point?
All this stuff is always there. It's always there. I don't understand.
I'm just saying, have you vocalized that particular point before, in one way or the other? Or this is the first time you've actually said that one aloud? Because I think that's a great point.
Well, you hang around me. You hang around me long enough, you're going to get a whole hell of a lot more.
Okay, I'm just saying. I don't know if this one was one that came out last March and in April, or this was, hey, listen, I'm putting the dots together right now. He must have seen a lot culture-wise, talent-wise, et cetera, and say, you know what? I'll come back for another $750,000 in 1 year because this team can compete.
And not just that, all the other deals that you saw too. Like nobody started looking at the exit for, you know, greener pastures, despite it being such a down year. So that made me think, like, these people really want to be here. They really do. And I said it would be unwise to give everybody a shot between Pageau dealing with, you know, post-surgery first half of the year. It was just all those things combined signaled to me that they were going to really give it a go this year, which is why I was so disappointed in the beginning, the very beginning. I couldn't fathom that why they came out so flat, because all the signs to me were, oh, they're going to come out like a rocket this year. And they didn't. And it was the one time I was fully perplexed. I was perplexed, but it's an 82-game season, you know?
The one time you were perplexed.
When it came to discussing this team, I mean, we all know what my track record was on the predictions. Okay. So it's all on video, ladies and gents.
So one more player I want to talk about, and then I want to talk about this this Tampa move here before we wrap up. So JG Pageau, another type of player that, listen, when he's not scoring goals, you talk to the teammates, you talk to the coaching staff, they're going to put him out there in every type of position possible. They're going to trust him with the game on the line. They're going to put him against the opposing team's best players. And you know what? He scored those two goals against Edmonton, a shorthanded goal and a power play goal. I got some great stats on that one if you want to know the last time that happened, but it didn't seem like you'd be interested in that kind of information, so I'll leave that to the side.
Well, go give it to – there's people out there who love that kind of the stump the Schwab type people.
The last person to do it?
Well, they want to know.
Zach Parise last year.
So you got to tell them this stuff. Don't cater to me. Cater to your audience.
I like the numbers. The Skinny by Eric Hornick is a must-read for me. every morning. Just say it. I might refresh the site around 12:30 in the morning just to see if it's actually been there yet, but he's got to get home from the game. He's got to do some other stuff. I like the numbers. Ryan Pulak, 4 assists. How many times has it happened in Islander history? I'm into that stuff.
Wow. I couldn't be less into that stuff.
Really? That yes. Dennis Potvin did it 7 times.
Yeah. Once you start getting to legitimate stats, when you're talking about the Islanders, well, you're talking about two different eras where you could risk,
I know, but just
take a wrist shot from the blue line.
50 years of Islander hockey. I like that stuff.
Legitimate ones, but I don't like ones that.
I understand. I understand why you don't like the Parisi. How much?
What's the significance?
He scores 2 goals, and now all of a sudden he's $107,000 per cause per goal game. I got you. But the Pageau point I wanted to make is that the package going into the next game against Columbus, and they featured Pageau, and they didn't show the goals. They showed him harassing Connor McDavid over the course of the game, and you were like, wow. That guy is the annoying player that I love that the Islanders were acquiring and re-upped it. And that's the type of player that wins you games, like you said, when it matters come postseason, but also someone that showed the ability to score 20 plus goals. And when it's clicking like this and he's scoring goals and doing all the other stuff, man, this is when this team is most dangerous.
I made this point. These people, you know, they're just orcs from Lord of the Rings. And I put up the Islanders' third and fourth line saying, complimenting them, saying, show me other third.
I retweeted that
line.
One.
Yeah. And just the mindless gargoyles, their first response was, oh, yeah, why don't you put
with
up
the top line
and second line? Yeah, the point what I was trying to make was when you're asking for, like, people on the third line, you're being overly critical. What you are getting in the first place is above and beyond. We have 3 third line players on pace for over 20 goals each right now. At the moment. So explain to me how that, like, you should be beyond ecstatic for something like that. And Pageau, when people were having the audacity to claim that Nazem Kadri would be a better third center on the Islanders. So to add 3 offensive centers to the team and get rid of the guy who you'd be putting out there against a Barkov and other major centers that you'd be playing, a Braden Point, somebody that will be harassing them and then will be able to chip in on offense, which we've seen in playoff series in the past. There are very, very, very few players in the league who can do that. That's why they traded him. When they were building this defensive team and adding to it, he was the perfect guy. You have 2 great centers in Barzal and Nelson contributing offensively. The perfect complement to that is a shutdown guy who can actually sometimes assist on offense, as you're seeing this year.
Yeah,
and play the power play. Penalty kill and has speed. And now, especially since we're not under the Trotz's system and we are a little bit more exposed on the back end, somebody like that is even more crucial to the team's success. And
Someone who just, it's in his DNA to do that, not necessarily structure driven. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, like the people looking for stats to justify his position on the Islanders. I mean, you really should be looking elsewhere. You should be looking at the opposing center stats, their star stats, and how they were doing 5-on-5, not on the power play. And if he's nullifying those guys, you have such a major advantage in these games. Just like I told you, part of the reason I love the Isles, 3 lines of success, and then even 4 come playoff time because of the way it goes. Other teams who are limited to 1 line, 1.5 lines, when you have a shutdown line, and I'm not saying the Islanders do, but when the shutdown pairing is going as well as it can, and then you have the Pageau line winning faceoffs and making life hard for them, and you have last change at home, it's a major, 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 major advantage.
So let's wrap things up with this move you dropped on me right before we started recording that you are you're abandoning the New York tri-state area and moving to Tampa.
Put this phrase in your Parisi headlines where, no. So my brother, he plays hockey and he goes and he's studying in Tampa. And I went there, I was working remotely. I went there last winter to give it like a test drive. So I got a place with him for a year. It's more so I'm giving it a test drive. So, you know,
so it was a winter test drive, and now you're going to do the all season
the year test drive. And, you know, it did fail one of the tests, and that is I cannot take that summer heat. I just cannot. And Tampa is not even like Miami. It's not as far south as you know, you can get in Florida.
So you should, sounds like you want to be a snowbird, though. Like, that's my dream in 20, 25 years. Have my place up here in the Northeast, spend the summers here, go to the shores, go to the beaches, et cetera. And then in the winter, you know, live down in Naples or something.
I'm more flexible. I'm more malleable than that. If the right opportunity came along, I'd go to Arizona in a couple of weeks, you know, but right now I'm giving Tampa a shot because it did a great job with me last winter.
Did a great job.
Yeah, I believe in the country, Tampa is like top two or three in the whole country in property value going up because of how much stuff is going there, how many new places are opening. It's great, man. It's got a downtown.
Ibar City, right?
Oh, is no, that, it? That oh, that's like the scumbag part.
Oh, that's where I've been.
Well, figures. Like, so let me guess. You went there in your Thanksgiving Eve days?
I went down. So in 2003, when I was working at WFUV when I was at Fordham University, you know, I was a sophomore, I think. So you were credentialed to cover the professional sports teams there. And we went to our executive producer and said, hey, can we go to spring training and cover the Mets and Yankees? And he said, if you can find your way there, we'll get you credentialed to do interviews and stuff. So that was my first big assignment. So me and two other guys drove to there. I had family that lived in Spring Hill, Florida. It's about an hour and a half outside of Tampa. And my spring break was covering the Yankees at Legends Field and going over to Port St. Lonely, as they call it, and watching the Mets for a couple of days. And my cousin Frankie lived down there, and he brought me to the scumbag place that you're calling Ybor City 20 years ago. I know what it looks like now.
So when my brother started school there, he said it was night and day different than even 2 years after that. There was just a massive everything from Tom Brady going there to all like the businesses and then everything that happened with like the pandemic and Florida blowing up and so many people going there. And it just really is nice. Like, they have pro sports teams, but it's not this huge city. It's a place where you can, you know, just jog around, feel comfortable.
No, and, I'm sure it is. You know,
did a great job, like I said.
And every time when I get my oil bill again next month, I'll probably even agree even more so with you. So,
yeah.
Well, good luck. You and your brother, you guys will be good roommates. There's no problem there. No competition. No.
I got to keep a close eye on those Lightning too. Make sure they don't end up screwing us again.
And your brother have a similar type of head of hair, or is it?
Oh, he's got a fresh head of hair.
Same thing.
Fresh
head.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, watch out, Tampa. The Francis boys will be out in Ybor City at night after those playoff games in the spring.
He's good. He's applying to different kind of medical schools and stuff
that. So you're gonna shepherd
his head's
him.
In the books.
You're gonna show him the way.
I'll do the best. I don't know if you want me leading you anywhere.
You'll have a spot to do this, though. You're gonna have like a little mini studio spot picked out where you can.
What do you mean?
Get some privacy.
You already did this with me, and I was in Tampa.
I didn't even know. Well, the virtual background threw me off. I thought you were.
I've never had a Murray Hill or something. You saw a real background. There was never.
I didn't realize
that
was Tampa.
Background. Yeah. So if I'm here, this is my studio, and I'm in both places. Don't act like I've run away. This is my spot in New York.
Now, we'll see what the primary residence is come tax time. You know, we'll see what the truth is. So,
well, you know what it is.
Yeah,
where you live more than half the year, which is Tampa Bay, my friend.
You like those free agents? I got to take into consideration the state income tax.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm Nick Paul, staying in Tampa.
All right. Well, listen, that will do it for this episode of the Eyes on Isles podcast. We'll be back with you next week, Islanders Country, for Andy Francis. I'm Joe Vono. See you next time. Good night.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.